Welcome to Simply Us. This is episode 26.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah.
That's a rather deep question. I mean, should I present the who I am to everybody? Should I present the person I want to be? Should I present the person I think everyone thinks I am?
I'm pretty sure you could do all of those things.
Oh.
How about you start with your name?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm Rob.
And I'm Victoria. Today we're going to geek out a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. We'll try not to go too crazy because I know that the topic we're going to talk about today can be kind of specific in the sense of this may only be appreciated by a smaller percentage of whoever listens to us than our other topics have been.
So, but at the same time, we're going to talk a little bit about minimalism with this topic.
That we are, because it kind of has to apply.
Yeah.
At least from the perspective of where we have come from in relation to this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, why don't you inform us as to, or inform anybody who is listening as to what it is we're going to talk about today.
Video games.
Yeah, you know, and it just dawned on me that anybody who reads the title of the episode, once it's actually released, will already know what we're talking about. So we just did all that build up for mostly no reason.
Yeah, well.
But that's okay, because that's just who we are.
Yeah, so I think we need to, should we start from the past or should we just like say where we are now and then go back? And then how do you want to wrap this around?
We didn't sit down and plan out how we wanted to do this discussion for this episode. So I apologize, we might get a little bit kind of rambly or might repeat ourselves a couple
times.
No,
we won't. We're going to wing it and we're going to do great.
Yeah, we'll be fine. What I'll say though, for where we are now and having children and all that kind of stuff, we do still play games. I think right now we probably do about an even amount.
I haven't played a video game in a week already. A week and a day.
So maybe I am doing a little bit more than you right now.
I went 10 months without gaming, too. Keep that in mind.
I know.
So we'll get into these things.
And also, the two of us don't game very often. I'll say that I game maybe like 2 hours a night, a couple nights a week.
And when I do game, I game for only like an hour, maybe two at tops.
Yeah, you don't do it very often. So, and then also, as far as our boys, we usually only let them game on Fridays.
For an hour.
Well, pretty much most of the time we let them game, we give them a limitation for how much time they're going to have. So Friday nights, they game, or Fridays in general, they game for an hour. Whether one of them, whether they take turns on the computer or they play together on the PlayStation, because they like to play Minecraft on the PlayStation and play it together. But we limit them on Fridays to an hour each. So however they decide to use that hour, that's how it goes. Saturdays and Sundays, we tend to be a little bit more lenient. We let them do a little more because it's the weekend. But it's not like they spend all day long playing games.
And then Monday through Thursday, they don't play games at all.
Yep, they're focused on school and co-op and stuff like that. So, but that's where we are now. However, we used to be very different. So I don't know how far back we each need to go, but I know that both of us had, for instance, NES when we were younger, or your brothers had NES and you would play it every once in a while.
I used to watch them play.
Yeah. Well, you had two brothers and an NES only allowed two controllers.
Exactly. So I got to watch.
Yeah. Now, I know that when I was younger, I had NES and I had a friend who had Genesis and I think he had another console, but I don't remember. We always played the Genesis together.
Yeah, you played Tomb Raider together.
We did that later. That was PC when we started doing that.
You bought a Dreamcast and I bought you a PlayStation.
Yeah, I bought a Dreamcast.
Story time, okay?
Okay.
When you bought your Dreamcast, I was waiting for you for 3 hours to come pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't do it because you were too busy playing Shenmue.
Yeah, well, it's a good game.
And so when you finally came, I sat watching out the window and I didn't call you. You didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have a cell phone. And I was not fond of phones and I didn't want your dad to answer the phone. So I sat there for 3 hours just sitting by the window waiting for you to pull in the driveway. And when you finally did, I said, "Where have you been? I've been waiting for 3 hours." And you're like, Oh, I got a Dreamcast, and then you brought me over to your house, and you're showing me this is what I've been doing, and then we sat there for another, like, however long, watching you play.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it actually got backlogged as far as my time, because I originally went to Funko Land.
Yeah.
It was actually Funko Land. It's like a subsidiary of GameStop that, yeah, it doesn't exist anymore.
No.
But I went originally to buy a PlayStation 2. That was actually why I went there.
But it cost too much.
And, well, no, it wasn't that it cost too much. I had the money to cover a PlayStation. But when I got there, this was before the Xbox came out and before the GameCube came out.
Mm-hmm.
So
I forgot about GameCube.
Yeah, exactly. So when I got there, and the guy was like, oh, can I help you? And I was like, I want to buy a PlayStation 2. And he's like, no, you don't. I said, excuse me?
Yeah, and he fell for it.
He's like, no, you want
to
buy...
You didn't have me with you to tell you.
He said, no, you want to buy a Dreamcast and a DVD player. He said, because in the next couple of months, the Xbox is going to come out and the GameCube are going to come out. And they're both better consoles. And you'll want to have one of those instead.
But you didn't.
And I was like, okay, well, maybe. And so, basically, he showed me the Dreamcast and all that, and I was
you should have picked me up first, I would have told you, don't listen to this dude.
Well, because he showed me House of the Dead, and I was like, oh, I do actually like playing House of the Dead a lot.
Yeah,
so don't tell me we did play
that
a lot.
That was a fun game, especially when we used to go at the arcade to play it.
Exactly. And then he also just showed me around whatever Dreamcast games were there. So he showed us also, my sister and I, Grandia 2 and Shenmue. And when I saw the games and I was like, okay, well, it is a lot less expensive to buy a Dreamcast. I was like, all right, well, maybe this is a valid point. So we did that. So I actually bought the Dreamcast and I went out and bought a DVD player. I keep trying to say Blu-ray, but that was PlayStation 3.
Yeah, you didn't have a Blu-ray yet.
No. And so we actually just got rid of the Dreamcast, like, recently. We had it in storage.
Yeah.
So all this time later,
I donated it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to go sell it. It would be too much of work.
Too much work, and you wouldn't get any money for
it. I'll just donate it.
Yeah. And it's funny because actually the Dreamcast lasted much longer than the DVD player that I bought with it at the time. The DVD player died ages ago.
Yeah.
Granted, I might have actually used that more than the Dreamcast, but that's beside the point. So I'm just trying to think now.
I never had PS2?
You bought me a PS2, yeah.
And we still have that.
No.
No?
I sold that
we have PS3 now.
Like 3 or 4 years ago, I sold the PlayStation 2, which still worked, and I still had a whole bunch of games with it.
Which we don't have anymore.
No,
You traded those in?
No.
No?
I actually sold it to a coworker.
Oh, that's right.
But we still have a PlayStation 3. That's where, like I said, the boys will play Minecraft together on that.
And we've had that 7 years.
Yeah, and we use that as, obviously, a DVD and Blu-ray player, so we don't have a separate DVD or Blu-ray player. We just have the PlayStation and our Roku, which we use for watching things on TV. We don't have cable,
Netflix,
which we've talked about.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm saying, because some, like a PlayStation 4, for instance, would have Netflix built into it.
Oh, okay.
So we have the PlayStation 3 and a Roku.
Yeah.
Well, I've also had an original PlayStation, one or two of them, I think.
Oh,
I don't
remember.
We had like two at one point because they were like really inexpensive and they had them at Funko Land.
It was $50.
In like the bargain bin. I think it was even cheaper than that when I bought it. Yeah.
But you hardly touched it, so we donated that.
No, I used that a bunch because I played the original Silent Hill on that.
Oh,
I played Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4, I want to say.
On the original?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe not. Maybe it was the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater. No. I played the original Pro Skater on Dreamcast.
Okay.
But then I did play like Final Fantasy 7 and 8. I played on the original PlayStation.
Okay.
Because even though the PlayStation 2 had the whole backwards compatibility with PlayStation games, they didn't look as good on the PlayStation 2 as they did on the original PlayStation.
I see.
So that's why I got that, because they actually looked better.
We are geeking out for sure, by the way.
Yeah. But the ironic part about it, well, and we'll say you also had a Game Gear.
Okay, but let's finish with you.
Oh, okay.
And we'll get to me.
But despite all of the, you know, having these consoles, I think I had, like I said, the NES.
Did you have one of those Nintendo 64?
No, never had an N64, never had a Super NES, never had any. The Dreamcast was the only Sega console I ever had.
Okay.
And then I had, so basically the first.
Did you have a Game Boy?
Three PlayStations. Yes, I did have a Game Boy.
Of course you did.
And I guess that was it as far as consoles.
But
I've actually always been more of a PC gamer.
Let's go into PC gaming after I give my little explanation.
All right, that's fine.
Okay. So with me, I played on a Commodore 64, which is a PC gaming thing. So that's how I started out, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like the floppy disks, the really, really floppy disks. Mm-hmm. And I love to play, guess what? The Olympics games that they had.
Surprise, surprise.
Yep. And whatever little games. They had RoboCop on there, but I didn't enjoy that. It was kind of boring. Mm. But there were a few games, and we had inherited that, basically. Someone gave it to us because, you know, they were like, oh, check out all these other gaming things. I think it was when the Sega Genesis came out, we got someone's Commodore 64.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, by the time I was playing a Commodore 64, mm-hmm. it had already been really outdated.
Yeah.
We had an Atari.
Mm-hmm.
That
I did have an old Atari once upon a time, too. I forgot about that.
That's great. So I love to play Joust, Pole Position, and once in a while Pac-Man, but mainly Joust and Pole Position were my games. I had mm-hmm. other games, not a lot, and those were my go-to. And my brothers, yes, they had the Nintendo, and they used to love Legend of Zelda. The one that I was allowed to play with them on the Nintendo was Tecmo Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
and Pro Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And Pro Wrestling was very interesting. But
yeah.
Because there was a guy that used to like claw into your body and scratch at it. And that was my favorite to play. And my brothers hated that I used to actually beat them all the time with that guy and eat their head with. Like, it's just really weird.
Yeah, it's a strange game. I kind of
But that was my favorite character in it. So, I was not allowed to touch it otherwise. And they had it on all the time because, you know, they had with their Mega Man. Well, 'cause you
couldn't save or anything like that.
Yeah, they just kept it open all the time. Yeah, so I wasn't allowed to touch it. And they got it when it came out. And then in 1992, I think it might have been. Now I can't remember. Whatever it was. It was probably late 93, for all I know. I asked for a Game Gear, which was like a Game Boy, but better. Mm-hmm. Except for the fact that the batteries died quickly, and you had no pause or save.
Yeah, but it died quickly because it was that much better. It had a color screen compared to...
It was
a
beautiful.
Sega. Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful. And I didn't have a lot of games, but I had like... The Lion King game, the Aladdin game, I don't know. Those were the only Disney ones I had. I beat both of those. I had the, whatchamacallit, the 7, is it 7 Up? Was 7 Up was a drink?
Mm-hmm.
So it was the cool...
Oh, I remember what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, the video game where it was the dot guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I always got stuck in the same place and could never pass it. And I had Columns, which was like Tetris.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Sonic the Hedgehog, and that was my favorite, but I always got stuck near the very end. Supposedly I checked later from someone like who, I don't know, maybe it was a YouTube thing. All I had to do was pass one thing and I beat the game, this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I never beat it, and it would take me 6 hours to get to that spot.
Yeah.
So it was a time sucker, that thing, and a battery sucker. I eventually had to have one of those adapters that was plugged in.
Yeah, so you could play with it plugged in.
Because when it died, it died. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't go back to it. No save.
Yep.
So that was really frustrating. But I love my Game Gear, and I only got rid of that a couple years ago.
Yeah, we still had it up in the attic just before we started doing all of our purge of the attic.
No, I kept it after that.
Oh, okay.
Because I was thinking about playing it again. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to touch this.
Yeah.
So then I don't know what I did with it. Did I give it away?
I don't remember.
I don't know what I did with it. So that was basically all that I did gaming. My one brother, he got a Sega Genesis, but I really didn't play much on there. I watched them play Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm.
And... I played with one of my brothers. I played whatchamacallit with the not Street Fighter 2. That was my favorite arcade game.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. He had that, and I played Mortal Kombat with him. Otherwise, I was not allowed to really play it.
Mm-hmm.
There's my experience of the past. I was not much of a gamer back then, honestly.
To get into more of the PC gaming, though, but you did have one
other game. I was always a PC gamer. That's the thing. I was more into that. Once we finally did get a computer, while everyone else had one for a few years, I was really into this game Dust, not to be confused with another game Dust. There's another game Dust that's new or something like
Rust.
That. Rust. Oh, there's Rust. Yeah. Mine was Dust. No, there's another Dust I found.
Oh, okay.
It was like some Western game with a guy trying to figure out some clues. It was one of those puzzle-ish.
It was like a murder mystery, but it was kind of like a very tongue-in-cheek parody-ish.
It was hilarious.
Kind of
it had a lot of funny things, and it had Hillary Clinton in it, which was very odd.
I think they stole her face for it. I don't think that they actually had any.
And they made her sound like her, too.
Mm-hmm.
And she was supposed to be similar to her. She has like a medical degree or something.
Well, I don't even remember.
Something like that, like a doctor of some sort. So she was the apothecary person, or maybe she told me to go to the apothecary. She ordered me around all the time and I couldn't stand it. But that was my favorite. And otherwise we had Civ and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which your brother spent a lot of time with.
Oh
right?
My goodness. Yeah. He was that and Machiavelli. I think me and my oldest brother were more PC gamers, and my other brother was definitely a console gamer.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, that's our history.
Mm-hmm.
So you, with console gaming.
Well, we already went over my console gaming.
I mean, you with your PC gaming.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, I actually started playing on PC back in
a long time ago.
Like 93 or 94, if not even a little bit earlier
Windows
than that.
Windows 3.1?
Yeah, I was on Windows 3.1. And, I mean, I actually started playing. Like, my gaming starts with using just DOS without even using Windows. Because when I would originally play, like, Rise of the Triad, the original Rise of the Triad, and the original Doom and Doom 2, and the original Tomb Raider, all of those, they were DOS games. They weren't even Windows games.
Right.
So
while I played at school, they had Apple IIe computers, which was the green and black screen. And we played Snake. When we were done with our lesson, we could play Snake or Oregon Trail, the original one, or Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Yeah. Now, I don't remember. I guess that was probably... No, actually, I'm trying to think now, because I remember at one point playing a Dune game that was
a
very...
Dune?
Dune, D-U-N-E, as in, like, based on the books. And it was like a resource-gathering kind of, like, almost like Ages of Empires mixed with, like, Civ...
Okay.
Civ as in Civilization, Sid Meier, just so that, you know, if anybody's not sure what we're talking about. But
by the way, Civilization was a really good game for me as like a teenager to learn about cultures that I had never really known about.
Yeah, well, it teaches you about history and stuff,
exploration.
Too.
So that was pretty cool.
And the other thing that you don't pay attention to as a kid is that it does teach you about, like, politics.
Yes.
Like, economy and politics.
Are you going to be one that's all about war? Are you going to be into the arts and culture? You want to do the space race?
Yeah. So, you know, it is a cool game for, as you're growing up, to learn about stuff.
Yeah.
But
while games like Doom is not really a good game for you to play.
I mean, a lot of the games that I played back in the day were just time waster games.
Yeah.
I didn't play anything that was, like, educational.
Which is what I only really played back then.
Yeah. Like I said, I played all that stuff back from, like, the DOS days. Then when it went into me playing more games in Windows, it was, like, Myst when it first came out for PC. I started playing it on there because it was originally just a Mac game, and I didn't have a modern enough Mac. At one point, I did have an Apple II or IIe at home for a little while.
Oh, yeah?
But it didn't last long. I don't remember why. I think it's just because I got, like,
bored
with not. Yeah, at the time I was a PC, or I was a, I don't want to say a Mac or PC because that's just a dumb naming. But I was a Microsoft, like, it was a IBM PC DOS was what I used, and then Windows 3.1 or 3.11.
There was a 3.11?
3.11 added networking technology where 3.1 didn't have any networking. So, yeah. That's a whole other thing we'll get into some other day, maybe.
Remember making the wallpapers in 3.1 and having it tiled out mm-hmm. in paint? I used to make things and have it... Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I remember very well.
Oh, my goodness.
Because that was my biggest pet peeve about Windows 3.1 was that you make this wallpaper, and then anytime you opened up any of the folders, it was covered up.
Yeah.
So that was always annoying to me. But that's a different topic. We're talking about gaming, not
okay,
Windows.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So I started playing whatever games, like I said, Myst was Riven, was originally for Windows.
He is a Myst originally. Lover.
Yeah, I have played all the games.
And read the books.
At least once, read all the books. I try to keep up on whatever new stuff. I should say, though, I have not yet played Cyan's newer game, Abduction. But that's,
is that a Myst game?
That's not a Myst game,
see,
technically.
That's why.
No, it's made by Cyan, the same studio.
Okay, and you're going to give the announcement about Myst?
Oh, well, I guess so. Cyan recently announced that they will probably be making more games in the Myst franchise, like in the Myst universe.
Well, congratulations
to you. They had said that End of Ages was going to be the last one, and that game is probably almost 10 years old now. But they are going to make more. So that's cool. But from there, even, we kept playing. I mean, well, I started playing more.
I didn't play
more...
anything after my Dust game. So, like, I'll say in 99, I stopped playing anything. And then I didn't play again until 2001.
Yeah, 2001 or 2002. Where
yeah, it was about 2002, actually.
The whole time I was playing whatever different games. And I remember one time back in 97 or 98, I had a disc that had Doom add-on levels, people always used to, like, mod their custom maps for Doom and Doom 2.
But don't you know that's a violent game?
Yeah, it is.
I'm surprised your mom let you play it.
My mom never cared about that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But
mine did.
And I remember that on this disc, it also had video trailers for games that were being worked on and that would be coming out. And there was a trailer for this game that was coming out called Half-Life.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I remember mm-hmm. that I was like, oh, man, this game looks so cool, like, from the trailer. Uh-huh. And mind you, this is, like, a long time ago. Like, you know, this is probably...
You said it was 97. That's what you just said.
No, okay, so then this was probably older than that I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Because now I'm trying to put it in my head what years all this stuff happened.
Okay.
Which, it might have been 97.
Well, I know I was with you when Half-Life 2 came out, so when did Half-Life come out?
Half-Life came out probably 2000.
Were we together yet?
I don't think so. Probably not.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I started playing Half-Life before we got together.
I remember going to the store when you bought... I know Half-Life 2.
Half-Life 2 came out in like 2006 or 7.
Oh, did it really?
Mm-hmm.
That late?
Yeah.
I don't believe you. I think it was earlier.
We were living in our apartment when Half-Life 2 came out.
Okay. So then I was with you with Half-Life.
Maybe.
We were together.
Or it came out right before we got together.
Okay.
The point is, I remember that it was the brand new game, and my friend that I was in the band with... When he got his settlement money from getting hurt when he was younger, he went out and bought this brand new computer.
Oh my goodness, that's right.
And then he was like talking about how like, oh, Half-Life, it's this new game that just came out, and I bought this brand new computer, and I can play everything like with all the levels, all the graphics settings are maxed out, and it still runs perfectly. And we're all like, oh man, that's crazy. And because like I saw it, and I got to play it a little bit on his computer, and it was nuts that it was like... It was brand new, and he had a brand new computer that could play it to the absolute best settings. But as time went on... What, now you're going to check the dates on that?
Yeah, I'm curious, because we started dating the end of 2000.
And I'm pretty sure that Half-Life came out either 99 or 2000.
Okay.
Now, I might be off a little bit, because I am actually kind of bad with time.
Yes, like, you are.
But I'm pretty sure that I'm right on that.
Okay, let's see. Drum roll, please. Are you ready?
Yeah, so.
It came out in 1998.
Okay.
So it was before us.
It's a little older even than I remembered.
It came out on PlayStation 2 in 2001. Is that how you had it, or did you have
I had PC. I had it on PC
all
first.
Right. So maybe because you were still hanging out with your other friend who had all those specs, that makes sense that it was 98. Because you hung out still with him a lot.
Yeah. Well, we were still in a band together and everything, so... So I'm off a little bit by the years, but I knew it was roughly around that area. Because I remember watching the trailer for it on that one disc. It had to be, then it was probably around like 95, 96.
Half-Life 2 came out 2004, so we were married.
Oh, 2004. Okay, not
It came
seven.
Out after we got married.
I'm trying to think then. Why do I keep thinking 2007?
Half-Life 3 must have been then.
Excuse me?
I was just trying to catch you on it.
Trust me, if there's one thing...
The 2.5.
If there's one thing that
was
I
that
know...
episode 3? What was it?
Yeah, Half-Life 2 episodes 1 and 2. There is no episode 3. Remember, Valve can't count to 3.
I know. But I'm just saying, because... wasn't there like a mini episode that they brought out?
That's the episodes 1 and 2.
Oh. I knew there wasn't a Half-Life 3.
Yeah, I know you don't, because I've been talking enough about it.
You know I don't?
I know that you knew that there's not. But anyway. So I actually became a big, like, Valve nerd, because when I started playing Half-Life, before Half-Life 2 came out, obviously, I started playing... Well, I should say I also always enjoyed playing the Unreal games, not the tournament games, the actual Unreal games. Like, the original Unreal... first-person player, first-person shooter, single-player. I loved that game. Came out around the same time as the original Quake.
Okay.
Or Quake 2.
That makes sense.
And closer to the Quake period, because now that I think about it, that was one of... the original Unreal was one of the first games to have fully 3D models, as opposed to the way that Doom and Doom 2 and Rise of the Triad did, where it was the sprites. But that's nerding out a little bit more than we need to. So I played Unreal, and I enjoyed that a lot, the same way that I enjoy Quake and Doom and Half-Life. So I started playing around, because in the past I had played multiplayer, like, network game against my friend.
Oh my goodness, but remember
Doom.
How long it would load?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
But when we started dating, I showed you, oh look, you can play against, like, computer players in Unreal. And so instead of going around through the story mode, you could just play like a deathmatch battle.
I can't stand going through story modes. Like, he knows I'm not much of a story gamer unless it's one of those, like, mystery things where I get to find out who
killed
who.
Like a point and click, too, especially. You're more into, like, point and click style games.
Yes, point and click. But I don't like story games. Like, Final Fantasy games, I do not want to sit through there myself.
Well, Final Fantasy is a little long anyway.
Where you're just like, oh my goodness, I got stuck in another battle. I cannot stand those things. I just want to know what happens. So I want to skip all the other stuff. Or just play.
Yeah. So that's when... I don't remember if I had started trying the Unreal Deathmatch at the same time as, like, TFC. Or if TFC I found afterwards. But... I remember showing you Unreal Deathmatch, or I was playing it maybe one day, and you were like, oh, let me try it out.
Yeah.
And you got hooked, like, right away.
That was my first multiplayer game.
Yep. So we started getting into that a little bit, and then at some point, I don't remember when, but I had found out about TFC, or Team Fortress Classic, and we both started playing that together a lot.
Yeah, a little too much.
Yeah, it was too much.
So much so that at one point when I was 19 years old, I was unemployed for 6 months because of issues with trying to get a new job and jobs that promised me full time and gave me 4 hours per week instead. So eventually I left and I was trying to find a job or trying to figure out jobs. So instead I just played TFC all the time. Much so that we got into a clan.
Yeah. Well, that we did because we were both playing together and we had chosen one specific server that we liked playing on.
Yes, so and we got hooked into that.
Yeah, well, when they recognized that we were there often enough and that
we were
people that were, like, friendly and communicative, because not everybody talks to each other.
Yeah, like, oh, watch out over here. There's a sentry over on top of that building.
Yeah, and that was a lot of fun because the server had a mod where you had like a grappling hook, mm-hmm. which we didn't see anywhere else.
No, and so that was a lot of fun.
And they also had what in the Source engine, not the Source engine, this is before Source, but back for like the original like Half-Life engine, well, I guess they have it now even, but they had what's called all chat. So even though there are two teams, you could have the microphone open so everybody on both teams could all hear each other.
Yeah.
So it was always fun to like jeer and like make fun of, like tease, like your friends,
I got you.
Your friends on the other team over the microphone. So like they could be like, ah, you got me again. Or yeah, like you said, like tease them, yeah. like, oh, we got your flag.
Yeah.
You know, and because sometimes it's kind of boring when you're only chatting on the mic, like doing voice chat with your own team. It's like, okay, well, that's, it's only so much fun, but it's fun. You know, you think when you're like on a baseball field or like on a football field, right. you know, you're.
Well, we could talk to the team too. We could do, to talk to either the team or all. Not yet.
No, that was.
We did do that too.
But that was text chat only.
Oh,
when you would
okay.
type things in, there was all chat or all type messaging to all or just to your team. But the voice chat on that server was always all chat.
Okay.
Or they had the option you could vote if you wanted to turn all chat off.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But it
so
was,
when we were having scrimmages against each
well, that's
other,
different.
We
yeah.
would have it. Okay, that's what I was thinking of.
Oh, then. Okay. Well, they even had, though, if it was just a regular game night, that we could vote to turn it off. But
yeah.
it was pretty much always on because everybody had the same kind of fun.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we'd have the members of the clan. Some of us would be on one team and some would be on the other. And we'd, like, tease each other the whole time. And it was fun because...
Yeah.
That's just how it was.
Yeah, they were so sweet that when we got married, they actually sent us a gift card to IKEA.
Yeah, because we actually had been, at the time, I think you had a desk, and like it was from when
oh,
you were
right.
upstairs, you brought a desk downstairs.
Yes.
I was playing on the floor.
Yes.
Because my computer was still at home.
Yeah, he would bring over a computer.
Mm-hmm. I actually built the second computer.
That he kept at.
To have at your house.
My parents' house.
Yeah. But I was playing on the floor for a while.
Yeah, so like, when we got married,
mm-hmm.
you then were still on the floor.
I was still playing on the floor because the desk I had been playing on at home was actually my grandmother's. And when I moved out, she basically said, no, sorry, you can't take it.
Right.
So, but then they sent us a gift card to IKEA and we got matching desks.
Yeah.
And it was cool because...
Then we could sit next to each other and mm-hmm. play.
Yeah, and be comfortable while we're playing. Not the way I was, like, sprawled out on the floor, not in a comfortable position.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, I don't know how linear I'm going to go through the rest of this, but basically, from playing TFC, we developed
There were issues with the clan. And you know what it was? When Steam came out, we hardly were, like, eventually it dissolved because...
Yeah.
When Steam came out, it was just, we weren't on there as much. They changed, TFC was mm-hmm. changing and becoming outdated.
Right.
So eventually, we were no longer in the clan. So we mm-hmm. played that a lot less.
Yeah. Well, we played that a lot less. I had started experimenting with running my own server before that, though, even. Because I don't think Steam came out. Maybe Steam did come out when we were still living.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's right, because Steam came out the same time Half-Life 2 did, and Half-Life 2 came out in 2004, so we were still at your parents' house, obviously, because...
In the basement.
Because that's the year we got married.
Yeah.
So, while we were still in the clan, but we were kind of having a little bit more struggle with it, and I think
yeah.
just, like, work and school scheduling maybe interfered, because at the time was when I was working at night and going to school during
yes.
the day, which I think that's probably the
most... We're going to have to go into that eventually, too.
Yeah. But I think that's probably the thing that had the biggest impact on it, honestly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was getting interested in the idea of running a server
mm-hmm.
because I thought it was really neat, like, to run up a server. And I knew that the server we were playing on was self-hosted by
yes.
one of the founders of the clan. And I just thought that was cool because I was always a computer guy, which we've talked about in the past. And
mm-hmm.
we'll probably get more into that some other time. But
no, I think we covered it well.
Probably. So anyway... I started trying to play around with running a TFC server, and then I was like, yeah, but I don't really want to, like, start
well,
a TFC server.
I don't think we had a lot of people come into the server because it was phasing out.
But it's also that I didn't really spend a lot of time with that because I didn't want to run a server in competition with the one we were playing
on. Right,
with the clans. But at the same time, because of what was happening with TFC getting kind of outdated, I actually fell into Day of Defeat, or DOD, which was like a World War II style.
Was it World War I?
No, it was World War II.
It was II. Okay. Yeah.
I started getting more into that game, which was similar to TFC to some degree, but it was different, though. It was a little bit newer. The maps were a little bit bigger.
Way of doing things.
The game just played differently, yeah. And I just kind of got more interested in that, because with TFC, for instance, you had different classes of characters, and with
it was more Day like Capture Defeat, the Flag.
Yeah. And with Day of Defeat, there were still kind of similar things with, like, capture points and stuff like that.
Yes.
But you only had three or four classes.
It was a little more difficult.
It was a little more difficult. And
you didn't respawn right away.
No, right, yeah, because with TFC, you died, you would respawn almost instantly, or within a couple seconds. But with Day of Defeat, you usually had...
Was it 30 seconds?
No, it wasn't. They had where... TFC, you just had a timer where after you died, like 5 seconds later, you would respawn.
Yeah.
With Day of Defeat, you had when you would die, you had to wait however long it was, so like 30 seconds or whatever, whatever the server set it up as, it could be changed. And then everybody that died would then respawn at the same time.
Oh, right.
Whereas with TFC, you had your own timer. So if you died, you had to wait 5 seconds and you respawned. But with Day of Defeat, we'll say that there was a timer for every 2 minutes that the whoever died would respawn.
Right.
So if everybody on your team died in the first 30 seconds, you all had to wait a minute and a half, and then you would all come back.
Yeah, so it was more challenging, and you had to be more careful with it.
Yeah, you actually had to think a little bit more about watching out to not die.
Yeah.
It's not as crazy as, like, Counter-Strike, where if you die during that round, you're dead until the round is over.
Yeah, I couldn't get into Counter-Strike. We did try that for a little while.
Yeah, but I didn't like the whole idea that if you weren't good, you'd play for 30 seconds and die, and then if the rest of the round took like 15 minutes, you had to wait that whole time.
Yeah, that was really frustrating. But so with the server that you made, we had a lot of fun on it.
Yeah.
We had so many people coming in all the time. We had a couple people that we built some relationships with, and it was pretty fun.
Back with the original Day of Defeat, they didn't have bots built into it. So you had to actually get a separate program to put bots. So they were fake robot players.
Right. And eventually we would have, if someone real would come in, the bots would
Yeah, a leave. Bot would leave. Right. But there was only one person that had made a bot program for Day of Defeat. And so I had come across that and I was using that. And I still remember it was called Sturmbot.
S-T-U-R-M-Bot. Yes, I remember.
So we had that, and also with the other add-on, again, administration plugins weren't part of the original engine either, because the game originally wasn't designed to be a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
So you had to add on all these things, like the administrator console and stuff. And so I did other custom stuff with that.
Yes.
Where I had special sound triggers for, like, the first kill sound. Oh, I completely forgot I had that on there, too. But I had, there were other triggers where if you could say certain things in the chat, and it would like, trigger certain sound effects.
We had a knight, a bayonet knight.
Well, we had a knife-only knight.
Yeah, where you
knights
cannot,
and shovel
you,
knight.
And if you kill, what did you use to do them? Because you had God mode on you.
I didn't use that very often.
But if someone didn't listen to the rules and broke the rules and started shooting...
Well, yeah, what I would do... Well, not just for
you
that.
You would, like, have them up in the air and move them around?
Well, because what it would do is there was a control in... Or there's a command in the admin thing called slap. So it would slap the player.
That's right.
So they would basically go, the get, like, hit, and they would fly, like, across the map. But normally, you would run the command by typing... You know, admin mod slash slap in the player's username. And so you do that, and it would only hit them like once, and they would just bounce in the map. Not like go far, it would just slap them like around. But what I would do is if somebody was like a repeat offender, I would bind the control of admin mod slap the user. I would bind that to a button. So I would just sit there and press the button over and over again. So the person would go flying all over the map.
So a lot of people came in because they had so much fun in our server. And they'd
also
be like,
the llama thing.
Yes. And so they were just like, when are we going to have the knife only night or whatever?
Yep. Well, we also did bazooka only nights. We had certain... We actually had one or two people were making maps for us.
Yes.
So we had someone made a football map.
Yes.
Where for knife only night, where
you just run across.
You have to run across the field. Oh my goodness. Because there was also a bag, it was a dynamite bag.
Yeah.
Because there was a game mode where you had to plant dynamite. And they made a map so that there was a dynamite bag in the middle of the field. And you had to both run from your ends of the field, grab the bag, and try to get across to the other team's goal.
Yeah.
But it was a knife only map, so it was always fun when you'd have like two teams of like eight people and we're running around with knives only, like trying to attack each other.
So what happened that suddenly we didn't have it anymore? What happened? You forgot something, right?
All that happened, and I still think about this and I get mad that I know that this is what happened. It actually happened twice, but the second time we couldn't recover from it.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't have a static IP address, and I didn't set up a forwarding address. So what happened basically is that anytime somebody was playing in the map or in the server and they're like, oh, this is really cool. I like this server. Let me play in here again. They would favorite the That's server. Right. And so when they did it, I never had a URL set up. So I never had like oozlesdod.com. Right. So if somebody wanted to favorite the server, they could have just typed oozlesdod.com in the server finder and it would pop up. You had to actually save it as the IP address.
Mm-hmm.
But because we were doing the server out of the basement of the house where we were living, the IP address would change from time to time.
Yeah.
So the first time it happened, basically I went in one night and nobody was there. And I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, because that was unusual.
And somebody sent us a message and they're like, what happened to your server? And we're like, what do you mean? It's right here. It's on. Like, I'm in it. And they're like, I can't find it. And I said, well, try to search it by name. So they went and searched for it and they found it. And I was like, oh, whew, good, okay. So I realized that the IP address had changed. So when everybody had the server saved, it was trying to point to the old address, which the server wasn't at anymore.
Right.
So most of the people found it again after that time, after the first time. But then it happened again a few months later, and for some reason that time, like, I couldn't get in touch with anybody that we had played with normally, and they basically either they never found it, or because at the time I think we might have been getting ready to move out.
Yeah, like it was definitely that we were moving out anyway, and we wouldn't have been able to keep it going where we were moving.
Right. So
in a way it worked out for the best.
It did.
It was hard because we had relationships built with people and we couldn't find them again.
It was also, like, to me, I was frustrated because I knew that we were providing a place for people to go to where they were having a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's frustrating when I think about it now is because now I know how I made the mistake, like how I should have done it.
Yeah.
And I know that there are ways around the problem of because the internet connection where it changes the IP address, if you pay more, you can get it where the IP address stays the same.
Okay.
But there are other ways to fix the problem, which I didn't realize at the time.
Right.
Because even when I was running the server, it was still kind of a new thing for me. I didn't know as much about the details of that as I do now.
Yeah.
So that's more why I get frustrated thinking about it, is like, duh, I could have continued doing that longer.
Yeah. So once we actually moved to our first apartment, and we had been married for almost 2 years at that point,
mm-hmm.
I was playing Team Fortress 2 at that point, TF2,
mm-hmm.
and I was really enjoying it. So that's basically all I would play. But then once I became pregnant, I still played a little, but all right. So once I gave birth, I was like, I have to devote my time to this child.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped gaming for a good like 5 years.
Yep.
And I was okay with that. Mm-hmm. It was really odd how I could just turn it off so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And you would play sometimes until like 2 a.m. And I'm like, come to bed because it's really late. We have this baby now.
Mm-hmm.
It was really frustrating for me to deal with your gaming because you were like so addicted, and we were together addicted to games.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was able to cut off so easily, I was like, wow, we were really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that you were still that bad, I was like, this is not good. He's a father now.
Mm-hmm.
He can't be on this that much. And I'm using my hands and pointing at him, and he's looking at me like, what are you?
I'm just worried about you smacking the desk.
Oh, okay.
Making it spike. But anyway. But yeah, and I didn't want to give it up because I had spent more time as a PC gamer than you had even.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is it was harder for me because, like we said, you only started playing on PC game until like 2001, when you really got into it. Whereas I had been gaming on computers that whole time.
Yeah.
So it was harder for me to get away from it because it was a deeper rooted addiction.
Yeah.
So I didn't really play anything on the computer for a long time because eventually we had the two computers when we would play together. Something happened where there was a part failed in my computer, and so I just started using yours. I took what I could salvage out of mine, built one computer out of it, and then that started going bad. So we decided, okay, well, we're going to switch over to laptops, or a laptop at the time.
Yeah.
So
we brought it down to one.
So we got rid of both computers, and we had just the laptop.
We had four computers at one time. So
yeah, at one point. When we were running the server, yeah. When we were running the server, we had each of our own computers. We had the server, and we had a spare one, which literally I kind of just kept around for spare parts, because the way that I was with swapping things out, I always liked to go back and forth.
Right.
Or it's even because, like I said, I had had the spare computer, which I think I turned into... Actually, now I think about it, the computer I had built to keep at your parents' house before we got married, that's the one that became the server. But you had had one that was like an older computer, and I had built you another one.
Yeah.
But we kept the old one around because something had been broken on it. But so the computer wasn't usable, but there were parts that were still good. So we went from the four down to the two when we moved into the apartment. And then we eventually got rid of both of those computers and went down to the one laptop. And so for a long time, like a couple of years, we had just one laptop between the two of us.
And you stopped gaming as much as you used to.
Mm-hmm.
You actually said, okay, I'll bring it down.
Yeah. Well, because I couldn't game on the laptop.
Right.
Because back then, we're talking like 2007, you couldn't game on a laptop. They weren't like they are now, where you can actually game on them. Or we would have had to spend like almost $7,000 if we were going to try to get a laptop.
We didn't have that kind of money.
No, we barely had enough money to get the basic laptop that we had.
We barely had money to pay any rent.
So for a long time, that's how it went with us. But then, I don't even remember when exactly it happened, but at some point, we finally gave in to everybody's craze about World of Warcraft.
Yeah, well, it's my brother started playing World of Warcraft with his wife, and they were talking about it so much,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, let me see what this is about. So I went into it.
Because by this point, we had two laptops. Eventually, we bought
a... At this point, we had both kids, too, and mm-hmm. they were old enough where...
we didn't need to be watching them.
Well, no. Like, I didn't play until they were in bed.
Right. But I'm just saying, but even so... It's not like we had to sit there and worry about them all night long.
Yes, they were trained enough that they could sleep right away. And so I was like, well, now I could finally do some gaming. And I got a little hooked into World of Warcraft for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it Which didn't last funny. That long, but it was like 9 months.
Well, that's because we only used it for the free trial period, where you have up to level 20 for free, and then after that you have to pay. And we never switched over to a paid service. But the funny part about it, though, is that the whole time we were playing TFC and Day of Defeat, a lot of people were like, oh, World of Warcraft. And we were like, no thanks, never going to try that. We love our Valve games that we're playing. Like, we're not going to do any of that. So eventually, though, we did try out World of Warcraft for a while. You played it longer than I did.
I got up to level 60-something.
Well, maybe at one point they had extended the level that you could play for free on.
I think I paid.
You might have paid for a period, maybe for a couple months or something.
Because, so my brother had a guild. I guess he still has it. I don't know. He still plays it. So I don't know exactly.
Not as much anymore, but
But he still does. But yeah, so I was like, okay, well, he'll help me out. So he helped me along the way. They told me some basics. And
mm-hmm.
But it was different. Like there was, the community wasn't.
It wasn't like TFC because, you know what, I was actually thinking about recently because I do still play a little bit of multiplayer every once in a while, not like we used to, but I was thinking about it in the context of like Fortnite and PUBG right now, where the maps are like huge and you can have a lot of players in it at one time. And I was thinking about it compared to, for instance, our Day of Defeat server or the TFC server or even old Counter-Strike servers where the maps were, like, small and most rounds for the game only lasted 5 to 10 minutes. And usually with TFC and Day of Defeat, for instance, and I guess even Counter-Strike, you would only be on one map for 30 minutes at a time. And then the server, it's TF, or TF2 still works like this. I assume Counter-Strike probably still does, Day of Defeat Source does, where you only play on that map for a half an hour, and then it cycles out. So you don't end up with these huge, really long periods of gameplay. And I just don't know that the same kind of community gets built in-game anymore. I mean, at least I haven't come across anything where I was playing a game lately where I was able to build that. But at the same time, I don't game like I used to. I don't spend as much time on one server as I used to.
Oh, can I just say, I know this is backtracking, but I had a Super Nintendo for a little while.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, someone gave their Super Nintendo to my one brother, who is the console gamer. So I liked Mario Kart on that.
Well, yeah, I think everybody did.
Yeah, and there was this other game. I can't remember what it was called, though, so we'll just not worry about it. And then I would play the basketball game, the NBA Jam. I would play that with my brother. But otherwise, I didn't really touch it because it was his thing. He was definitely on that. But the reason why we had two PlayStations, you and I, is because I had one for Dance Dance Revolution. So because I was always playing that. And that's all I used it for. And you were using yours.
Well, because you had one at your house at home.
Exactly.
For DDR.
And I was trying to figure it out. And then I
had the one that I had where I was so I could play Silent Hill and Final Fantasy and stuff.
But anyway, you didn't really game much after my World of Warcraft thing.
Because it got to the point again where even though we had newer laptops by then, they were barely capable to play any games on. And also at that point, I started to work more. And we lived farther away from where I was working, so I would get home later. And the boys were getting bigger enough that like I had to spend more time with them.
Yeah.
Which now I still run into the same thing, where I can't like hang out and game on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the games I want to play, I don't want them seeing.
Yeah, we don't let them see any violent games at all. After my World of Warcraft thing, you showed me Dota 2.
Well, I think I showed you Left 4 Dead 2. Oh,
okay, so we played Left 4 Dead 2 together.
Because we played that for a while, like a few months at least, where we were playing that together.
With a friend, yeah. So yeah, we played that for a while, and then you were trying out Dota 2, and you're like, oh, look at this. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So then I started playing it, and I got really, really hooked into it.
Yeah.
But again, I was only playing after the boys were in bed, and I started to build another community. So much so that I can go now into, it was TeamSpeak, but now into Discord. And I have a group of guys that I've been playing with Dota with for like 4 years now. But like I said, I went 10 months not playing, and then all of a sudden I came back, and it's like no time even passed. They're like, oh, hey, how you doing? And so it all goes back up in that way. But yeah, I haven't played in over a week now. And like I said, it's when I do play, it's maybe four nights a week. And for like one game, which is like an hour long, maybe 45 minutes at 30 to 45 minute games, really.
Yeah.
And if it makes 72 minutes, I hate that. But it's rare.
But as far as, like we said before, I'll play maybe a couple hours a night. And it's usually only 3 or 4 nights a week.
Yeah.
And for me, I usually will play single player games because I'm more into the story. And like we said before, you're not really into those single player story games. I am into that. So, for instance, right now I'm in the middle of playing Homefront: The Revolution. I played Sniper Elite 3 kind of recently. Borderlands 2, which they're like a hybrid between single player and multiplayer.
Yeah.
Because you can play either single player or you can play with people, which we played most of Borderlands 2.
With two of the guys are in my Dota group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah, that was fun. So here's the thing. We actually have some rules about gaming for us, though. Like, I can't get into the really gruesome games. Like, I can't at all. That bothers me. Even when we played Team Fortress, like, you could put the GIB as it's called, mm-hmm. which stands for what? What's that
say? Well, GIBS, but I don't remember exactly what it... But basically, it's
the gruesomeness. How much blood and mm-hmm. splat noises and all that makes. So I made it so there's no gruesomeness at all, because you can mm-hmm. change that. And I just... I don't like it. I don't want it to look like real-life stuff. Like... I've had dreams where I'm playing these video games mm-hmm. and you come back to life. And so I'm thinking, like, okay, maybe one day when we're in heaven, we're going to be playing these games. And it's like, oh, you shot me and you come back to life. Mm-hmm. But in reality, I don't want to confuse reality with that. And I do it to de-stress. So if I get someone in Dota that stresses me out, I can't take that, because I go in there to de-stress, not to get more stressed.
Yeah. So when someone comes in, they're being a tool. Oh, it's like, come on.
And it's bad in there. Dota will be the only one that I actually play. I like the hidden object games that are like really kiddie in mm-hmm. a way, if you think about it, where you're finding like puzzles, basically.
If that's what you like, that's what you like.
And they're simple.
But you also played like Golden Age and Night of the Rabbit. You said you enjoyed those
Night
a lot.
Night of the Rabbit was really good. See, it's a puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what was the other one that I played? I don't remember. See, I'm bad at remembering.
Well, there was Golden Age and Illumino City. Or Illuminosity, but it was like Illumino City.
Yes.
Where it was all like the claymation, like they actually built the set for it.
Yeah, that was interesting. No, I really liked that other one where it was two different characters and you kept switching into
Golden
their
Age.
Stories. Oh, that was Golden Age?
I think that's what it's called.
I don't think so. But, anyway,
it's called Golden Something.
I haven't played those in over a year, those type of games.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like those. But we also have a rule that we don't play any games that have sexual stuff in mm-hmm. it. None of that.
Yeah.
So nothing extremely violent. I guess, well, you play more violent games than I've...
Well, in even the stuff that I play now, though, I would have thought that any kind of, like, a game as new as Homefront the Revolution, which is only, like, a few months old, I think. It came out within the last year, if I remember right. That I would have thought that would have been, like, a really gruesome, nasty game. Because, for instance, like, Bioshock Infinite was like that. There were a couple scenes that were like, what?
I can't even watch you play that.
Yeah. And so, to play Homefront Revolution, it's not gory and violent like that at all.
Yeah.
Like, even there are even points in the game where you have to do, like, takedowns where you use a knife to, like, kill people. And even the times where you do that in those games, it's not nearly as violent as I would have expected from something this new.
Can we go into the whole idea of violent video games and if they create violent people or not?
I guess so.
Just to sidestep?
Yeah, I mean, why don't you tell people about all those times you killed all those people after playing all these violent games?
Yeah, so... We're Mennonite. We've mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Mennonite people are extremely against the taking of any life mm-hmm. at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like non-war people.
Mm-hmm.
Yet here we will play these video games.
Yeah.
So, and we're extremely against like oppression mm-hmm. and all these. So I have never wanted to harm someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I play these games.
Yep. Well, and that's why I always get so... I don't know if offended is the right word, but it's probably the best one that there is. When people turn around and say, well, violent games, you know, they turn people into killers. Like, they said it back with Mortal Kombat. Like, originally, they were going crazy about... Because that game, I mean, honestly, that game is still one of the most violent games.
And I played
it. And when that came out, you can totally understand, especially for back then, why people would have said the things they said. But we played it. And we are who we are. We've never been violent.
Yeah.
You know, and...
But I'm sure there are some people... You know what? I think the reason why it could harm your soul or, like, influence you if you start to not disconnect reality.
Right. Mm-hmm.
From that. If you start to be so obsessed with it, it's like, you know, people have said Grand Theft Auto has mm-hmm. caused people to want to run over people
right.
with their cars like they do in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they are doing that, it's because no one has talked to them maybe to
right.
tell them this is not how you should really live your life.
Yeah.
And so I don't let our boys do any violent video games at all.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
And they do mainly educational things that will build and construct their mind.
Yeah. The thing that was funny about this whole idea of violent games turning people into violent offenders.
Well, it started with
Doom. Well, yeah, but I'm saying on a more recent topic, we had that guy a few years ago that he was like Russian or Lithuanian or something, where he like brought a couple of people out into the woods and like killed them. And like he did it as like assassination style or something.
Really?
But they said that, well, he was playing a video game to train himself. And I was like, okay, well, what was he playing to train himself? And they're like, oh, he was playing World of Warcraft to train himself. And I was like, first off, these people apparently have no idea like what they're talking about, because if you've ever played World of Warcraft, you know it has absolutely nothing to do with like training yourself to be an assassin or to learn how to kill people. Because, well, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Where I've never handled a gun. I've never fired a gun. You have.
Have you even touched one?
Yeah, I have.
Oh.
But my point is, for instance, when you were playing TFC and you were a sniper in TFC, is that any kind of training for actually handing a gun and sniping people?
It was very different. And I'm saying that because I used to be a member of the NRA.
But that's my point, is that you were practicing for, you were working towards sharpshooter and all that.
Well, that's because I was put into a camp where I had to do all that stuff. So I'm just saying, because people are going to be like, uh-oh, she's pro. I'm not pro NRA. I'm a Mennonite that doesn't believe
but
in
my
guns.
Point is just the fact that in the past, you have handled guns. You know how to fire a rifle.
I know how to fire a rifle. I know the prone position. I was almost done with the standing position. Yeah.
My point, though, is that anybody who claims that a violent gun game...
Very different.
It's nothing like handling an actual weapon.
Yes.
So when they claim that like playing a video game trains you to be a killer, it's baloney.
Right. Yeah, supposedly the military trains people using video games.
Well, that's for tactical stuff. Okay. For like communication.
See,
which that's different because you can learn how to communicate with people through a video game.
That is true.
And to work as a team.
See, here's the thing that I think playing these type of video games has helped me to have hand-eye coordination.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, just the other day at one of the co-ops, I was in the art supply room trying to grab something, and from the right side of me, something started falling and I caught it right as it fell.
Mm-hmm.
And there are these kids that were watching and they were playing Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had just said like, oh, I started playing that game, but I'm not very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And because I don't really like the game.
Mm-hmm.
I caught it and they're just like, whoa. I was like, that's from video games. So if your parents try to tell you video games don't teach you anything, this is proof.
Because
they were like, whoa, because... You know, usually people be like, oh, fumble and it will fall.
Yeah.
But right away I caught it because my reaction time is so fast.
Well, because you learned, even though when you game, you're only gaming on a small screen, you learned peripheral vision.
Yeah.
From gaming. Because, you know, you'll be doing whatever you're doing. And if something on the far edge of the screen starts happening, you learn how to watch for that. And we've talked many times between the two of us about how that's been the case for you.
Yeah. I would think that something like virtual reality that is becoming a bigger thing. I mean, it's always been around since we were kids, but
it's becoming a really big thing.
That I don't know, because people say they actually feel, and like that might be a thing that could be a problem. I don't know, but from what it seems, that is questionable.
It depends on how immersive it is. Now, I know for right now, a lot of the VR is good. But it's not, like, amazing yet. But I think as it gets more developed, it will be worse. Because I know there are, for instance, there are a couple companies working on a glove, for instance. I actually watched a video recently on...
Right.
The Smarter Every Day. He went to one of these companies that's working on these gloves where they actually have a mechanism for making the gloves resistant to bending your fingers, where it'll actually hold your fingers back. So it almost gives you the sensation of grabbing something because you feel the resistance in your hand.
Yeah.
And even to the point where they had a demonstration of the guy was in a world and he had like a rain cloud. And if you put his hand under it, he could actually feel the individual drops on his palm.
Right.
So it's going to get there. Once the technology is cheaper and, you know, more prevalent, it will get to the point where it could be more dangerous as far as being harder to train your mind when you're in the game and when you're out of it. But I think that'll be something where we're going to have to start getting ready to, like, warn people of that.
And I think that, you know, the reason why maybe some of these people are, you know, why people say, like, it leads to violence or whatever, to actual violence, I think the ones where they have sexual things involved with violence, mm-hmm. that stuff is not a good thing. Mm-hmm. I really do think that could encourage it.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, another reason why we don't play those type of
things. Well, that's why, yeah, there are a lot of games that I haven't, games that I thought sounded interesting, but then when I hear that they have certain kinds of content that I stay away from.
Right.
Like, I know there was a game a couple of years ago where you actually, like, in the game, you had to more or less force a character to, like, give you a strip tease or something. And I was like, well, not going to play that one anymore, because it was something like you actually had to, like, force her to strip tease or, like, kill her or something like that. Like, it was something really crazy like that.
So I think that what it really comes down to, obviously, we don't want to put ourselves in that type of position.
Mm-hmm.
But what it, you have to be educated. So a lot of these kids that are playing these games, they don't have parents involved in their lives to tell them right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So with our boys, we can tell them along the way. As they get older, if they start to show an interest in some sort of game, I don't know how we're going to deal with that.
We're going to have to go as we go along.
It seems at this point, our boys, they do react to, they played RoboCraft for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think that it started to play a critical role in how they dealt with us.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, I feel like they were being a little more violent with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, you're not playing that game anymore. Yeah. And they were upset, but now they don't argue, and now they're okay with not playing this game. But because that's the thing, is that we explained to them, like, we don't want you to be so obsessed with mm-hmm. a game that you feel like you have to do that in real life
mm-hmm.
or treat someone in a certain way. So I find 12-year-old boys will be swearing their mouths off at mm-hmm. me in a game of Dota, and it's like, Whoa, little boy.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your mother?
Well, we always ran against when we would play games. We'd always find younger people.
There are definitely doing that. A lot of negative things mm-hmm. because the parents are not involved in their kids' lives. And you know what? They're already hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
So you give them some sort of video game where they're like, oh, no, I'm beating you. I'm so much better than you. And now they feel good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how to deal with people in real life. It's a very sad thing.
Yeah. And the other thing, just as far as how we're policing our kids, is that, for instance, with RoboCraft, the other reason why we told them not to play it was because Lato, for instance, was becoming very obsessed with the idea of getting your daily reward for logging into the game.
Yes.
So they had crates where every day when you log in, you can get a crate and you get a reward for whatever. You get items and power-ups and stuff. And there was one night in particular where we're like, all right, it's bedtime. And he's like, oh, can you maybe log in and just get our crates? And so once or twice, I decided, all right, I'll log in just to get the crates, just to, you know, be a nice guy.
Yeah, since they don't play every day.
So since they didn't play every day, I said, okay, well, I'll be nice and I'll log in and get it. So one night, I told him, like, I don't know. I might go in, I might not. Because we had something else we were going to do, I think. And so I kept coming by the room, like, to go to the bathroom or get a drink or whatever. And Lato was still awake. And I was like, Lato, why are you awake? Did you get our crates? And I said, no, Lato, I didn't. I'm going to bed. I didn't get it today. And he, like, starts freaking out. He started, like crying and, like, almost, like, screaming.
He was really upset.
And so, like, I got upset because I'm like, why are you so obsessed with, like, this free game giving out these free add-ons and power-ups to the game?
And we told him, it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter in life.
Yeah.
Your reward doesn't matter because we were explaining how one day this game won't even matter.
Yeah, it won't even exist because that's the way games are. I mean, and the sad part is this is the second game that this kind of thing happened with Lato.
Yes.
Where there was another game previously that he had been, like, obsessed with playing all the time. And he always talked about it and always made jokes about the game, which were, like, from the game. And, like, I played the game, too. Like, I enjoyed the game. But, like, Lato has my similar kind of, like, addictive personality. Yeah. So we told him, one night, like, Leto, we think you're just getting too crazy about this game, so we want you to stop for a while. And he, like, freaked out again. This was earlier. This was before RoboCraft. Yes. Like, almost, like, 2 years earlier. Uh-huh. And so that's when we start to see that it's becoming that important to them, we want to back out of that. Because even more recently than RoboCraft even was Hawken. Both of them were playing that. And they were getting kind of obsessed with playing that game. But so because of that, we told them to stop. We didn't want them to play it anymore.
Well, I told you I didn't want them to play
it. I know, because that one was more realistic.
And it
was
I didn't like that.
Yeah, because it was like RoboCraft, but it was much more realistic. It was almost like MechWarrior. And so, but I agreed with that. I said, okay, they are starting to act a little bit.
I thought they were too young for it. Like, yeah. I feel like, here's the thing, is if you have like an 8-year-old boy playing, or girl, playing these violent games, mm-hmm. when they don't care to do important things in life.
Right.
So we've made it like a reward in a way for them. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to play your video game, you have to do your schoolwork. You have to, you know, this is the reward. Mm-hmm. You don't obey. You don't do what you're supposed to do. You're not playing your video game. And so that's how we are with them.
Yep.
And, you know, that is our form of discipline, mm-hmm. is video games, taking it away from them, yep. because we know that's what they really enjoy.
Yeah. And fortunately, to kind of change tracks a little bit, this past summer, the boys finally learned how to ride bikes.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the season, like very end of the season, like very early fall, we got them new bikes. So they have their new bikes, which they chose, you know, they picked out. It wasn't like a thrift store, or like a hand-me-down. Like they actually picked out their bikes. Yes. And they're both really nice bikes. Mm-hmm. So this year, once it starts getting warm enough, we're going to be out with them on the bikes more often than we ever have been. So it won't be as much of a struggle. As a matter of fact, they talk about being excited for it to get warm. And so I'm really excited about that, because that's something else for them to do other than games. Because we've never really played baseball or soccer or football with them.
Well, they're just not really into that.
Yeah, because they're not. Tried. Because, you know, I'm not really into that stuff. So that's why I haven't encouraged it that much. But if they wanted to, I would do it with them.
Yeah.
Because I want to do that for them. So, anyway, this year it will be easier, I think, once it gets nicer out. Plus, we plan on doing more vacationing this year again, because we have the ability to now, more than we ever did. So, fortunately, we won't have to do as much worrying about policing the video game stuff, because we're going to be doing other things anyway to engage them more. And for us, as far as I know, like kind of continuing how we are with it. I game every once in a while. You'll game every once in a while. But again, with the nicer weather, I'm hoping to be out doing things more often. Hopefully, we're going to move at some point in the next couple of years, worst case scenario. And I'm hoping that we can find somewhere that has like a backyard or something, or at least streets that we can walk on, because where we are, it's a little busy to go for walks up and down the block. We can't really do that. But if we can find somewhere else where maybe we're like by a park where the boys can ride their bikes to, and we can hang out over there, or just going for walks around the block, we'll be doing more of that kind of stuff. But
right. Well, I think this is the thing as minimalists. A lot of people will say like, oh, video gaming, there's no point to it. You shouldn't mm-hmm. play video games if you're a minimalist. Why would you do that? It's a time waster. So we have something that we've said about it, is that we have built communities mm-hmm. through video games and friendships with people. And that's important to us mm-hmm. to have those communities. Mm-hmm. But obviously, real life stuff is more important to us. So that's why when I took 10 months off from video mm-hmm. games, it wasn't intentional. It was more like I started to get involved with running. Mm-hmm. I started to build the garden. Mm-hmm. We were going away. And I was just enjoying
and
life.
The homeschooling stuff.
And then,
you know,
it got cold. And I'm like, okay, well, I've read all these books. I don't really feel like watching something right now. Let me go play Dota 2. Just a match. I go in and play a match, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really wasting my life. It's more, and I'm spending time with friends in the process. I'm learning how to have a team. Mm-hmm. And I think building on teamwork is important mm-hmm. in life. So I feel like there are some wasteful games. Like if I'm on my phone, I don't have any games on my phone at all. Mm-hmm. If I'm on my phone playing what I used to have, like Tsum Tsum mm-hmm. on the phone, I feel like it was just wasting my time. And so I took it off. Yeah. And if I play something, it's going to be with intention to be like, okay, I'm going to set apart this time for this and that's it. And it will be kind of like a hobby in a way, mm-hmm. but I'm spending time with people.
For me, I haven't done as much gaming multiplayer stuff lately with trying to like build a bond or a friendship with like community people. Basically because I feel like the way that I'm gaming right now, it's too sporadic for me to really try to build up like any kind of like a relationship with people. For instance, we've talked amongst us about Dota. I like Dota. It looks like it would be fun to learn and to fun to play, especially considering how you have to work with, you know, a team, you know, because you usually play 5v5.
Yes, always. And so five.
It's better off to have a group of five people that you know each other well and you know how to play off of each other.
Yes.
But the problem is with things like Dota, there's a lot of detail to learn about how to play the game.
For each hero, you know, you have to know how mm-hmm. you build them, how they play. And then, you know, if you play several heroes, you got to know each of those. You got to know the map really well. Mm-hmm. You got to know what to do. And when you deal with people that you don't even know on the same team, like if you only go in with one other person and you have three random people, mm-hmm. it gets to be a difficult thing. So, yeah, there's a lot to learning certain games.
Yeah. So that's why I haven't really gotten into, like, Dota, for instance. Fortnite, I kind of want to try because I've been watching people with PUBG. And I think that game looks fun, but I don't really feel like buying that game because I don't expect to spend a lot of time playing it.
Right.
And so that's why I haven't reached out for that. Fortnite, even though it's free, again, I just haven't really taken the time to learn anything about how to play the game. Granted, I've only played it for like 20 minutes. Maybe if I spent a little more time, I would enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I'm still, I think, more into the single player games. Like for the Steam Winter Sale, I went out and picked up like four games because they were all like really cheap.
And one of them you bought for me because I played the first game, which was a story game.
But it wasn't like a first-person shooter.
I'm stuck on something and I gave it up.
It was more of like a puzzle game. But all the games that I bought, though, it's the new Doom. Because obviously I started with Doom and I'm going to continue to play Doom because I've played every one of them. I'm not now. Oh. But I got it with the winter sale.
I didn't even know. I don't like Doom.
I know. But I got Doom. I got... Well, I've been playing Homefront The Revolution, which I picked up with that because it was cheap again.
Yeah.
Fallout 4, because I heard that this one got rid of the stuff.
You played all the other
like,
Fallouts.
I haven't played any of them.
Oh, I thought you did.
Nope. Because, like, for instance, like, New Vegas had a whole thing with, like a brothel.
Oh.
And so I never played that game. And there was something else that I got, too.
But Fallout 4 is okay?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They said that they got rid of all the content.
We used
From what
to,
I read on ESRB,
yeah, so,
which is a rating system for content.
That's what I wanted to mention.
Yeah, so ESRB.org, they are, I think it's Electronic Systems Rating Board or something like that. Or
so
I forget.
ESRB. B.
It's, I think it's electronic something, not literally something, but it's ES ratings board.
Okay.
So it's electronic something ratings
system?
Board. No, it's like, it's, I don't remember.
Okay.
But the point is that they will rate games based on content. So they'll have like E, which is for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And you've been using that for many years now.
Yeah. Yeah. For quite a while. Where
for
there's
like
a game I want.
7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much since it came out, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely if you want to know what your child can or cannot play, you can use mm-hmm. that to see how much violence, how much language. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. another thing. We don't allow any games with language for them to hear. Like, mm-hmm. okay, so when I play Dota, the guys I play with swear all the time.
Yeah.
But I have headphones on. I don't swear.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want the boys to hear that.
Yep.
So they cannot ever play that game.
Mm-hmm. Well, even games where there have been like Robocraft and they played that, there was a function to turn off the chat system,
which is what we did.
Which we turned that off because even though it's a game that, I mean, it's not necessarily designed for kids, but it's like more of a kid-friendly game.
Because they build these vehicles that fight each other.
They build robots, and they're robots. It's kind of like Robot Wars.
Yeah.
But, you know, but there was a chat system, And because of the way that the whole game works, there could be adults. Because I played RoboCraft, because I enjoyed the game too.
Right.
But since we don't know who's going to be playing with them and how they're going to chat on there, even though there is a system in there, they say not to use foul language and it is protected, we just figured we played safe and we just turned it off.
Right.
So the same kind of thing with when they play on like any of the Minecraft stuff, they have one server that they play on, which is supposed to be kid friendly, but I still tell them like, stay away from the chat.
Well,
like,
I worry about the names that some of the people might use.
Yeah, well, you just had the other night, even playing Dota, somebody came in with a name
with
that was like,
F word in their name.
Yeah.
And like, and so that's the thing is there's a lot of weird names that people come up with.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, there was one other rule that we have for the boys. Oh, I know it is. We have our computer out in the living room where mm-hmm. we could see the screen. It's a mm-hmm. big screen. So we can see what they're doing. Well, granted, mm-hmm. they're playing right now Minecraft on the PlayStation mm-hmm. 3.
Yeah.
Together.
But they do know how to like get onto the computer and to log
into.
They
have their own section.
Yeah, they each have their own user account. And we also have...
But they're not allowed to have friends.
Right.
It's all private.
Well, because their Steam accounts, even because they don't own any games that were paid for, they can't even use the friends.
So we give them permission
from
our side what they can play.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pretty strict about it.
Yeah. Well, and even, I mean, it's another topic, but even with the computer, right, like our user accounts have passwords that the boys don't know. They have their own accounts, which don't have passwords.
They're not on internet.
And yeah, the browsers are like hidden from them. There's no way for them. Well, I mean, if they knew how to search for them, they could go onto the internet.
But you know what's good?
They don't know.
They're very obedient with the computer mm-hmm. with us. Like when we tell them stuff, they are so obedient about
Except for when we tell them to stop playing. Sometimes they get
That's the only thing. But otherwise, they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to, like, they don't know about the internet, mm-hmm. like how to use it really.
Mm-hmm.
And because we just don't feel there's a need for that at mm-hmm. this point. And if they really need to find something, we find it for them.
Exactly.
So that's the thing is that, you know, if you're a parent of a child, this is how you deal with preteens because mm-hmm. we have an 11-year-old and we have a 9-year-old
mm-hmm.
and we don't want them exposed to things because we do feel those things can be damaging mm-hmm. to them.
Yep. So to kind of go back to what you were saying earlier as well, and then to kind of wrap up a little bit.
Okay.
I don't think that gaming is an anti-minimalist thing either. Because, you know, there are lots of other subjects that you can bring up that you can make excuses for. Well, that's not minimalist. Like, you know, anytime you have a hobby, you know, people can say, well, it's not very minimalist to be like a woodworker because, you know, you have to have all these tools and you have to have, you know, scrap wood laying around for what you want to use it. And, you know, then you have to have all these finishing products. And to certain people, that wouldn't be minimalist. And for instance, you're quilting, right? Some people could look at quilting and say, well, you have to have all this extra material and the machine and the needles and thread, you know, but I think gaming falls into the same thing, where there is obviously a place where it's not going to be minimalist. If you feel you have to have 2, 3, or 4 different, you know, computers and consoles, you know, and you have all of these extra peripherals laying around. Like, and it's not even that there's a limit to how many peripherals you can have before it's not minimalist anymore.
Right.
But I think ultimately, which is just kind of the statement about minimalism in general, is that it's about not having more than you need. Like, not having excess.
Well, the two of us have talked about how when our PlayStation, which we, like said, like 7 years we've had that.
Mm-hmm.
When that dies, we're not going to even get a replacement or any type of console.
Nope, we're not getting another console.
That's it. Because
mm-hmm.
we're just going to stick with PC gaming. It's easier. Mm-hmm. That's kind of minimal because
mm-hmm.
all the Steam games we could just have in one place. Yep.
And they're all just right in the catalog. You just download them. You don't have to worry about having, you know, the console and then however many controllers and all the games that are on discs, which Minecraft's not on disc, but still a lot of console games are still on their own
but
separate media.
But we know kids who have several different types of consoles. Like, mm-hmm. they'll start listing, oh, I've got an Xbox, whatever the new Xbox, I don't even know what it is these days. I've got this, and they start listing all these consoles. I'm like, why do you have all of those? Mm-hmm. To me, that's going a little crazy because they're expensive. You want to upgrade all the time, have the newest, and plus they have all the hand games too. If the boys want to get one of those, maybe I'll let them. I don't know. But you know, they haven't asked, thankfully, and we haven't brought it up.
Well, but that I think will be the conversation that we would have when the PlayStation dies.
That's right.
We would look at it then to say, because I have, right, I think we might have mentioned this on a previous episode, but where I also said even earlier in this episode, I'm not really a console gamer. I basically played on consoles when I just didn't have a computer capable of playing games on. So for me, for instance, this past year we got our other computer that we could finally play on again, as opposed to just a couple of laptops. So when we upgraded to this computer, I basically haven't touched the PlayStation at all.
Right.
Because I'd rather play on the computer.
And like we said, we use it mainly as a DVD player. And we've said, if we want to watch a DVD, we could just put it in the computer.
But anyway, to actually bring this back around and wrap it up.
Why? Is this too long?
It's pretty long.
And I'm going to have to edit. The geeks listened.
Yeah, they might have. Anyway, if you have any other information you would like to know from us, you know, if you want to tell us about like your favorite games or whatever,
if you have questions, that would be cool.
Any other questions?
We'd love to have comments. You know what? You could tell us your gaming story in our comment section. We love reading those. You could write it as long as you want, or even an email with it. We will read it.
Yep, definitely.
We will read it all, and we will talk about it with each other alone. And if you have questions, we can bring that up into our show. And that will be fun. Remember to go to our website.
That's
simply-us.net.
Why do you keep talking over me?
Because it's funny to see your expression.
Now I don't want to talk because I expect you're going to say something over me.
I was waiting too.
Yeah, I knew you were. Anyway, so that's that. Reach out to us. Let us know.
Oh, we have something different.
We have something different.
I did get rid of my Twitter account, guys.
Oh, right. It has been replaced. Yep, that is now the Simply Us Twitter account.
It's at Simply Us Podcast.
Yep.
So find us on Twitter at Simply Us Podcast. We barely write on there. I just think life is fine without it.
Well, we mentioned on the previous episode that you could probably deal without Twitter, and so you decided to do so.
But if you tweet us, we will see your tweets.
Yes, we will.
So you could ask us questions on there now. So thank you.
Yep. Hopefully this wasn't too boring to anybody who isn't into this. Hopefully this doesn't sound too stupid to people who are into it.
If you want us to talk about some other topic, you tell us what topic, and we will talk about it.
Yeah. Even if we don't know anything about it.
We will research it.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll discuss it.
Yeah, we will.
And pretend that we know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Or we'll find silly things to talk about, like sriracha sauce.
Which we want to talk about, actually.
Because it's actually got a cool
story.
Maybe
next episode.
Maybe. All right. Anyway, have fun.
Yep. Enjoy and don't kill people.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.